Hello, everybody. Welcome to Undiscovered Worlds. I'm Ryan. Over there is Maria. That is the voice that you guys are going to recognize from this channel. We have decided to mix it up a little bit, come back with some new concepts. So from now on, guys, we're going to be doing it this style, kind of podcast style. And we're just going to find some fun topics every day and just scour the internet, basically, find everything that we like about that topic. And then we're going to come on here and go back and forth and share some fun things we found. We'll pick the topics, or we'll even take suggestions from the comments. If you guys want to just write, basically, we're going to go one word style. So just put cats or ancient Egypt. I guess that's two words. concept style. And then we are going to scour the internet, come here. We've got all our favorites written on a sheet. So if you guys see us kind of looking off to the side, especially me, because I decided I'm just going to read mine. Maria is a little more professional. She's kind of memorized some of hers. So she's just going to deliver. No pressure, Maria.
Now, no, not at all.
You can't look off to the side now, Maria. You have to be professionally looking at the camera the entire time because I've put this pressure on you.
It won't work. Guys,
today is going to be all about food. So we took concept of food. We scoured the internet for all the fun stuff that we could find about food. And here we are. So, Maria, do you want to go first with the cool stuff that you found about food?
Let us feed you some wisdom.
Oh, that was so punny. Oh, that was so punny.
So, yes, I actually want to start. Many of you may know this, but the Michelin star is one of the most recognizable stars in the food industry, or basically many industries. Whomever gets a Michelin star is basically a genius. Well, in Southeast Asia, sorry, I had to look up my... In Southeast Asia, most of the countries, their favorite thing to eat is actually grilled chicken gizzards, and that's like street food. Well, in 2016, a street food vendor in Singapore got a Michelin star. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, I was in Singapore, and there's a chicken, Hai Sun chicken or something, place like that, that was up on the list of, but they didn't have a Michelin star. But yes, it was like street food that could be restaurant food. It's amazing. Okay. So you might already know this, Maria, but it's in Spain. Outside of Valencia, in a town called Bunal, and can you pronounce this for me, Maria? Tomatina? Yes, La Tomatina.
La Tomatina?
Yeah, it's the tomato fight festival. It's the food fight festival that's all tomato.
Oh!
Is that how I pronounce it? Did I get it right?
La Tomatina, yeah, you got it right.
All right, guys. See, I should have, had Maria found that fact first, it would have sounded so much cooler coming from her. It's the world's biggest food fight. It's held the last Wednesday of August in a town called Bunal, outside of Valencia. And they toss around, I don't know, about 150,000 tomatoes get thrown around in the world's biggest food fight.
Wow. And the thing is, if you leave tomatoes on your skin for too long, it will actually kind of burn the skin. So I don't know how these people do it.
They are acidic. I've heard that's one of the foods Tom Brady will not eat because it's acidic and then it triggers inflammation in the body. So it doesn't heal properly. That's going too far. I could not live without tomatoes. That wouldn't happen.
No. Or chocolate or a little bit of sweets or,
Yeah.
And actually, speaking of chocolate, that's like the most craved food. And for Halloween, that's like when they did a census of the most favorite food or candy that children want, chocolate won. So it's a win-win for everyone to have some chocolate and for Halloween.
Yeah, I can't see. Somebody's like, what kind of candy do you want? My first thought is chocolate. It's never anything else necessarily.
It's never going to be a Tootsie Roll. Never, ever.
No. They used to, because it was waterproof and it would keep, they used to put the Tootsie Rolls in the military rations back in, I think it was World War One or Two. It was a fact that I found, but I didn't write on my list. So I don't have the exact information. But they used to put them in the rations. Do you have it?
I have another fact about Tootsie Rolls that has nothing to do.
Okay,
it's not on my list either, but this is great. Okay. So I was reading that in Tootsie Rolls, what they do is they keep mixing a new batch with the old batch. And I think that has been since the early 1930s or 1960s. I don't remember if it's 30s or 70s, so please don't quote me on that.
Okay.
on when the Tootsie Roll began, but the fact that I do know for sure is that they mix what?
I said it wasn't the '70s because they used to put it in the world. I don't know if it was World War One or two, but they put it in the ration, so it had to be before the '70s.
Okay, perfect. Then now we're being more concrete about it. Thank you. But the thing I do know is that they will actually mix new batches with the old. So they said that you still are having a tiny little bit of the original batch in every Tootsie Roll.
So every Tootsie Roll I eat is almost 100 years old. I'm going to go ahead and switch to something else then. It's like yeast for beer or bread or something else. There's always a little bit left from the yeast colony before that helps. Okay. All right. Well, let's, I'm going to keep with the candy theme then, since we're here. And most chewing gum are pink because the original inventor of gum, the double bubble, the only food coloring he had handy was pink food coloring in his factory. And then since he was so popular, everybody wanted to copy him. So they also copied the color, so pink gum became the trend.
I love it because I also picked that one and I had it as a quiz for you.
Oh, okay.
So that's awesome.
This show's going to be a little choppier. We're a little more conversative. If you guys are joining us over from Wild Chats, this is the style you're used to. There's going to be more conversation, us back and forth and stuff. If you guys aren't joining us from Wild Chats, that's another channel that Maria and I do that we've been doing a podcast like this on for a while, which is where we're like, you know what? This is fun. Let's get away from animals a little bit and let's go back to Undiscovered World. So that's how it came. So we're going to do quizzes towards the end of this, and that'll be the time that you guys can get involved. It's kind of that Jeopardy moment where we'll ask the other person a question and you guys can yell at the screen if you know the answers, or just think in your head, God, that person's an idiot. How do they not know the answer? So that'll be fun.
I'll make my esoteric phone call. Come on, people, tell me the answer.
Exactly. So towards the end of the facts, essentially, we'll get into some fun quizzes. And then we also have like an after show. I'll break that down when we get there. But that's for the more PG-13 stuff that we didn't necessarily want to share here because it's not always family friendly or YouTube friendly. They have very specific words they do and do not like to hear. So I did gum. Now it's your turn.
Okay. So speaking of tasty flavors, in order for actually us humans to be able to taste stuff, we actually have to mix it with saliva. Like it has to be mixed with saliva. And if you go on an airplane and the food doesn't taste that good, it's not because you're lacking saliva. It's just the altitude doesn't, for some reason, food doesn't taste that good on an airplane.
Yeah, it's something to do with the atmosphere, the thickness. Because astronauts have a problem, but it's a different problem tasting food because for them, when you're weightless, everything rises to the top of your head. So then your sinuses get clogged. And then everybody knows if you've ever been sick and tried to eat, you can't taste the food when your sinuses are clogged. So same problem, different reason for it.
Same, but different.
Yeah, same, but different. Okay, spices, spicy food actually aids memory production by acting as a stimulus for the brain to remember things. But then the catch is if you try to use the strategy of, well, I'm going to eat spicy food while I study, you kind of have to eat spicy food right before you take the test because memory is tied to being in that exact scenario. So people that study, that's kind of one of the things where they fall apart. If you study like hopped up on energy drinks and you have like rock music blaring and whatever your environment is, and then you get to the test and it's dead silent and you've got no caffeine, your memory is not going to trigger because it's not in the same scenario that it learned it. But spicy foods will help memory. And they're actually thinking about ways to use it to treat Alzheimer's because it does trigger memory so significantly in some of the studies they've done. So
that is amazing. Yeah. So a hack I just came up with is mix bubble gum with jalapeno sauce or some sriracha. That way your bubble gum tastes like spicy the whole time you're taking a test.
Okay. Oh, okay.
That's my hack. I just made it up.
To get that back so you're in the same environment. Interesting.
I just came up with it. I didn't read it anywhere. I just thought that would be an interesting way of doing it.
Okay. And this is kind of a parallel fact. I'm going to share it just because I read an article yesterday. So Alzheimer's runs in my family, and I read an article that they've been studying Alzheimer's all wrong. They thought that the plaque buildup in the brain within the synapses was the problem. And now they're starting to think that it might be that plaque that's supposed to be there. I forget the name of the chemical of the element, but they're thinking that that's actually a normal response of the body for inflammation. And what's happening is that, I'm just going to call it an element, that element actually is not able to differentiate between the brain cells it's trying to heal because it's so close to the thing it's trying to heal. So it can't differentiate within the brain, and then it ends up collecting, thinking it's healing something, but it's not healing anything. It's just building up on the brain because it thinks the brain is a foreign substance. And so now they think they've been trying to treat Alzheimer's all wrong because it needs to be treated as an immuno issue. Is your, you know, if you get sick, then your immune system goes and fights it. That's what's happening in your brain. This is what they think. So the plaque that they've been seeing isn't actually the problem. It's actually the response of the body. So
it's a symptom.
Yep. So for 20 or 30 years, they've been focused on this one element. And it turns out that that might actually not be the problem. It's just like you're like when you clot, all your blood runs there and then it builds up and it clots. Well, that's your body's doing what it thinks it's supposed to do.
And what is designed to do? I mean, it's designed to heal. It just is not healing properly.
Yeah, well, it's trying to heal something that isn't there. It's actually building up, trying to heal your brain matter, because the brain matter, I guess something about the fatty substances in the brain matter is so close to the other aspect. So sorry, I don't have the specific details, but I read that yesterday and I just thought it was really interesting, and because it affects my genetics.
The majority of the population nowadays.
Yeah. So now they're kind of looking at trying to attack that differently. But all right, back to the food stuff, guys. I don't know how we got side. This happens all the time. If you guys watch Wild Chats, you will know that this is how things go. We have a little fun. We share some facts. It gets a little parallel. We come back to it. In the future,
speaking of,
we're going to try to get a little more in line, but these sidetracks are mostly all my fault, but I just can't help myself.
I actually didn't think it was bad because food is health. So yeah. What we eat, or actually what we digest, is who we are. And one of the best foods to fight cancer is actually broccoli.
Okay.
It's also very high on vitamin C, and it just has very anti-cancer, many, many anti-cancer properties. And even if you cook it, even though they said if you cook it at high temperatures, you end up damaging some of the properties.
The nutrients, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Still works. It's just the less cooked, the better. But you still have to, they said the best thing is like to blanch it, which is basically put it in water and that's it. Just a little bit.
Okay. Interesting. All right. I'm going to spin it over to some fun stuff. Did you know that Taco Bell has tried to enter the Mexican market twice? And the second time they decided to get fancy because the first time didn't work, and they marketed the food as authentic American food.
And it didn't work.
And it still didn't work.
That's hilarious. So I also read, and this has nothing to do with that, but I read that if somebody is in love, like if a couple is in love or somebody is in love, food tastes sweeter and better than it actually is.
Okay. But see, that it actually is, I feel like that's relative. Because somebody would give me a food and they'd be like, this is the worst thing I've ever tasted. And they'd be like, this is the best thing I've ever tasted. So.
Yeah, but remember, we are so tied to our emotions.
Oh, no,
so if you're having a good time, mm-hmm. If you're having a good time, if you're with a sense of adventure or the thrill of it, then you're going to find things a little bit more exciting. Therefore, your perception of it is going to be better.
No, I agree with your fact. I just think the end part was a little interesting where it's like, then it normally would. And it's like, well, that would depend on the person. But hey, that takes the fun out of it when we pick it to pieces. All right. Studies suggest gut bacteria plays a role manipulating our brains into our cravings. So the bacteria can get what they need. So basically, if it needs lipids, you'll have a craving for, your gut bacteria will create a craving for fat in your brain, so you eat fatty foods, so then your gut bacteria gets the lipids it needs. So essentially, we are run by our stomachs. Now, I'm part Italian. If you guys asked most Italians, we already know that. We didn't need science for that.
But even yeast, like even yeast that forms in our body, a balance of yeast is healthy.
Yes.
The friendly bacteria and the yeast is really healthy in our guts. When it goes out of balance is when we have a problem, and also creates the craving of more sweets so they can reproduce more.
Okay. Okay. What's yours, Mar?
Okay, so speaking of eating, even if you stand up on your head, even if you stand up on your head, your stomach and everything will still go to your, the food still is going to go to your stomach, even if you're upside down.
Yeah.
That's how strong those muscles are.
Okay. Here's a fun one from history. I never thought about this. It's a little gross, but not super gross. Not enough to make it into the after show. But the reason that monarchs and royalty moved their courts so frequently is because essentially they were forced to, because the residences got so filthy gross out of all the parties and all the food and all the decadence that they would take into their lives that basically they just had to keep switching houses because the castles would just smell so bad from living it up that that was their only recourse. So it wasn't, hey, I've got 10 fancy palaces. It's like, I've got to leave. This is a palace for one day a month each year, or 1 month each year. So then it can air itself out for 11 months and we can come back.
So that the vermin can clean it up.
Yes. Yes. I think that's a really horrible phrase for the poor serfs that had to take
care of them. I didn't say that. I meant the rats and the cockroaches and the cats.
You would never say that, so that's why it's absolutely hilarious. I forget this isn't Wild Chats, so they don't know our sense of humor yet. Marie would never say something like that, so my joke to her was just so over the top, because anybody that knows us knows that there's no way Maria would make a joke like that.
Sorry. At least not on purpose.
I forgot it was our first episode over here on Discovered World.
So, a hack.
Okay.
A hack.
Okay.
So, there is a hack to prevent gas, since we're speaking of peculiar things, literally. There are certain foods that produce gas, like beans, bran, broccoli, sprouts, cabbage, cauliflower, and onions.
Okay.
So the best way, if you're going to make a soup with all that, which you could make a soup with all that, the best way to do it is if it's a bean or lentil or things like that, you change, like you let it soak for a couple of hours, then throw the water away and then cook it, especially beans.
Yeah, starch. Yeah.
And it also removes some of the enzymes that are the ones that produce gas.
Okay. Okay.
But if you don't want to do that to beans, and I'm talking specifically to beans, you can add ginger to it.
Okay.
So in many Latin countries, what they'll do is they'll switch the water. So they'll let them soak up, also because it makes it faster to cook. They let the beans soak up, throw the water away, and then cook them without salt so that they can actually cook. Once you put salt on beans, and they're not cooked, they're not going to cook. They're not going to soften up.
Interesting.
So that's another hack. But if you don't want to do that, then you can add just a little bit of ginger.
Okay.
Or when it comes to broccoli and sprouts and cabbage, then blanch them a little bit and then cook them or do whatever you want. It kind of helps to soothe. So you don't have to take a Beano or any enzyme stuff.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Okay. So I want to try something here. So guys, this is our first show. We're kind of going back and forth about how we kind of want to do the show. This is a little more, this has been a little more conversational. So we're mixed up between two styles. We're going to go either conversational, kind of like this, or we're going to go a little bit more like rapid fire.
Facty
with
facty.
Like one or two little comments in between or a little joke or whatever it is. So we've kind of done the first half of the show conversational. So we're going to try the next half a little more rapid fire. And then at the end of it, we're going to kind of decide which one we like, and then we'll move forward with that strategy. So you guys get to be here as we're working all this out for ourselves. So Mar, what we'll do now is basically I'll do a fact, and then you do one, and then we'll just go back and forth. And then if we've got like one little comment or one little joke, then we'll go for it. But then we'll kind of leave out the peripheral stories, though I still think this might be my favorite way of doing it, is kind of the little stories and stuff in between. I just think it's more fun, probably.
Okay, so literally chop chop.
So we're gonna go chop chop, write down our lists, and then we're gonna see how that goes, and then that way we have something to work off of. So, is it my turn? I'm first.
Yes.
Okay. Honey is the only food that doesn't spoil, and the reason actually most people have heard that part, they haven't heard this. It's because it's hygroscopic, which means it kills bacteria by sucking water from them. So basically, it can't reproduce, so it doesn't go bad. And scientists have even found edible honey in the tombs of Egyptian pharaohs. So that proves how long it lasts. Mark.
And if the honey ever crystallizes, just put in a little bit of water, like warm water.
Was that your fact?
No, that was just a hack attitude.
I'm just kidding. Go.
So, in 2014, there was a National Food Safety Conference, and the food that they actually served at this National Food Safety Conference made everybody sick, and everybody had food poisoning.
Fantastic.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Okay, Cracker Jacks originated in Chicago, and it was actually the first food to manipulate children by putting toys in there so the kids would want to buy it and try to encourage the eating of junk food. So essentially, they marketed junk food to children by putting toys in it. For the first time, thank you, Cracker Jacks.
And going with that fact, an experiment showed that kids that ate food, let's say from McDonald's, that it was put into the McDonald's boxes, they liked them better than the same food in plain boxes.
Well then, I happen to find that also, and I will not be using that two facts from now. okay, Worcestershire sauce was invented accidentally by the Brits trying to recreate the flavors in Indian food. And it has something to do with sardines. I was looking it up for another video that I was doing. And I think there's like, it's dried sardines or something is what gives it that unique flavor. But don't quote me on that aspect. You'll have to watch a future video for that fact because I don't remember it exactly. Go!
Studies have shown that putting on slow background music can actually make a person eat slower, at a slower rate. And when you eat at a slower rate, you chew your food more and get fuller faster. Therefore, it actually helps you lose weight.
Interesting. Okay. A lot of people know this, but for those that don't, on a plane, a pilot and a co-pilot never eat the same meal, just in case there is a food poisoning issue. You don't have both people sick at the same time.
So the Three Stooges were filming, and Larry, one of the Three Stooges, he actually mistakenly ate some dog food that was there for, obviously, a dog. And when people told him, like, dude, you just ate dog food, he's like, whoa, that was great. What brand was it?
I don't remember which one it was. It was the bald Mary. One. One was a really big animal lover. Like, he had dogs and dogs and dogs. Is it the same one?
Larry, whomever Larry is.
Larry, I think, had the curly hair. But the bald one, I think it was Mo, was a huge, huge animal lover.
Well, there you go. It was Mo's dog who fed Larry.
Oh. Yeah, that's probably why... I brought up because that's probably why the food was on set to begin with, is I know one of them was a massive dog lover, so that's probably how it got there. Cellophane, the clear plastic wrap used to wrap food, is actually biodegradable and produced from wood pulp. Which I can't see wood pulp turning into cellophane, but okay. But unfortunately, it is produced with toxic chemicals, so even though it's biodegradable, it's definitely not eco-friendly.
Interesting.
Put it in with stuff, it will break down over time and not a ridiculously long period of time.
Side hack from that, or side information from that, is that although we all hate cockroaches and other bugs, like other critters with exoskeleton, like literally other bugs, are capable of breaking down unbreakable things, such as plastic bags and other byproducts that could be perceived as dangerous, cockroaches and other bugs are very good at breaking them down. So although we hate them, they're good to have on trash piles.
Yes. And again, what Maria means, if you guys watch Wild Chats, we love all animals, but cockroaches are the ones that we usually agree on that we're like, we just, yeah, no. Yeah. Can't
you
get
respect
into
them, but from a distance.
Exactly. So that's, yeah. fats from junk food actually trigger the brain to want more food in general, not more junk food specifically even. And the effect can actually last for several days. So junk food's bad while eating it, and then it's bad for several days after because it makes you want more food in general. So you take in more calories.
And that also has to do with the combination of the sugar and the wheat and the oil. So all those combinations of sweets and wheat, like breads and oils, seem to trigger our brain to really want more.
Okay. Which is all derived from our gut bacteria that made us want it in the first place. Man,
yeah.
Are we actually thinking, or are we just roaming through the world being controlled by our brain's reactions to things?
We'll make a video about that for sure.
Right.
Because that's scary. So I have a hack.
Okay.
If you want to serve smaller portions, let's say you're on a diet and you want to serve smaller portions because you're trying to control your eating after eating hamburgers from McDonald's in a pretty box.
Now we're doing callback facts. All right.
Yes. So what you need to do, sorry, my thing froze for a second and I thought I lost you. So what you need to do is people overestimate the food portion on plates that have wider and are colored, the rims are colored. So you can make the food smaller, but people overestimate the portion.
So the fancy plates with like the flowers painted on the lips basically will cause you to eat less food because it looks like there's more food on the plate, essentially. Okay. Let's see. Only two mammals like spicy food. We are one of them. Do you know what the other one is? I was thinking
they're mammal. That's
this fact, so that's why I asked her. This is I said this is kind of like our quizzes at the end, but not really.
I don't know, because Pepita, our dog, who you have seen on the videos, hiding throughout the videos, she eats spicy food, but I don't know if she likes it.
Is she handy?
She ate a whole door frame.
Oh, that's when I. Did you put some sriracha on it? And she was like, ooh, I want that. she is a chihuahua, so sriracha is like right up her alley.
I put Valentina sauce, which I don't think is that bad. But I was trying to prevent her from continuing to eat the door frame. Yes. And so I'm like, oh, no, don't worry. Let's just put some Valentina sauce on it so she won't touch it, like the smell, because there's a little bit of vinegar in it.
Okay.
Oh no. She kept chewing right through it because she wanted to escape. So she didn't care. So my answer will have been dog.
Okay. I saw something on Facebook the other day and it was literally a bottle of like the stuff you spray on furniture and stuff so dogs will stop chewing on it. And a dog had just chewed the entire bottle and you just chew marks. So it was just the irony was hilarious. Okay. The other one is the tree shrew. Which
was the answer?
Tree shrew. It's tree shrew. I asked you because I thought you might have come across the fact also. I mean, I didn't think there's any way you were guessing tree shrew out of nowhere. We know a lot about animals, not that much. But apparently tree shrews have a mutation that actually makes them less sensitive to hot chemicals, specifically to capsaicin, which is the hot chemical that gives all the chilies their pop. So they have a mutation making them less sensitive to it, where that chemical for every other mammal is just so strong that we eat it because we enjoy the flavor or we like the heat, but it's still really hot to us, where another animal, if something's that hot, they're like safety instinct-wise, they're not going to eat it. So to us, we're sensitive to it, but we kind of like the pain or we like the whatever the aspect is for people to like spicy food.
And that's why some companies code their cables with capsin, with a little bit of capsin in their plastic.
Oh, okay.
Because mice were chewing through the cables.
That makes sense. Okay, interesting.
So speaking of cornstarch.
Cornstarch, you say?
Yep.
Okay.
which is what we use a lot in thickening stuff like soups and gravies. We add a little bit of cornstarch just to thicken anything. Will actually spike your blood sugar more than eating sugar, which I thought was very surprising.
Yeah, yeah. I actually did know that one. I didn't until you kept going. I was like, oh, okay, wait, no, I actually do know this. But I don't cook, so I don't ever really, there's no cornstarch in my house. so I never have to worry about it. Okay, let's see. Oh, this one's adorably disgusting. Kissing may have originated from when mothers orally passed chewed solid food to their infants during weaning before they have their own teeth and can chew their own food and before obviously baby food or any of that fun stuff existed. So we think it's romantic and cutesy, and it may just have been a way to feed baby birds essentially and just vomit into their mouths.
And other mammals that they will regurgitate their food.
No, I meant this is for humans. The fact is for humans. And then I just, since birds do that, I tried to tie it together thinking I was still on Wild Chats. I was trying to get an animal tie in there. See, I'm still adjusting to this. We're not on Wild Chats. All right.
So speaking of humans and food, humans can survive longer without food than they can survive without sleep. But you can live without food for a month, but you cannot even live for a week without water.
Yes.
So food is not as important as water and as sleep. And then they said, pardon?
No, go ahead.
And then Mahatma Gandhi, he actually went without food and only took sips of water for 21 days. So that explains why he survived.
Yeah. And there's certain animals that actually can go without food their entire lives because they can get all the water they need out of the food that they eat. A lot of desert animals have that kind of modification in them. So that's the other reason, too. You can kind of go a little longer. All right. If you guys ever accidentally eat one of those stickers on the fruit, like if you just don't realize it's there and you're chowing down on an apple and you get a little bit of that sticker on it, you guys can just keep going because it's actually their food grade. I read some facts that said that they were actually kosher, but that wasn't true.
The stamps should be.
No.
Remember when you used to lick the stamps?
I read that, and then I read some more, and I found some contrary information on the stamps that they weren't kosher. So that was a 50-50 split when I was looking that one up. So I left it off my list. Okay. But I did come across that, but I saw like both sides of it. So I was like, all right, if I don't know, then I'm going to leave it alone.
Now you don't need to lick them, so it's okay.
Yeah.
You're okay.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We're in there. I haven't put a stamp on something and I don't remember how long. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've mailed something that required a stamp in years at this point.
Okay, my turn?
Yes. Yeah, why not?
Okay. So, if you ever go to the Canary Islands.
The Canary Islands?
Canary Islands.
The canary's a bird and a canary makes those little metal things that we put food inside.
Okay, so the Canary Islands, Canary Islands. There is actually a really cool restaurant called El Diablo. Okay. And at El Diablo, and the reason why I chose it is because what they do is there is an actual volcano there. So they actually use the geothermal heat to heat their food.
Nice. Okay. Oh, let's see. Where are we at? On my list of foods. Oh, wow. I've got this cool fact about if you listen to slow background music while you eat.
Yeah. Oh,
not doing
never
that
heard
one.
Of that one.
No, haven't? Okay. The staple ingredient of most Italian foods, the lovely and amazing tomato. Yeah. Not even from Italy. Not even from Europe. No, basically all originated and imported from Mexico. So, all the Italians can thank the Mexicans for their tomatoes that now.
And the Belgian chocolate that we all love, Mexico too.
Really?
Chocolate. Chocolate.
I'm pretty sure they've got like a population. Yeah, there's a lot of like weird transplant pocket populations through Latin America. Like I know Argentina.
Yeah, but it originated there.
Yeah, well, no, it's just like Argentina has a big German population. Like, because people in America was the same thing. When people came over, you want to localize yourself with people from your country that share your culture and your food. So even if there's only 40 of you, you usually end up in the same neighborhood because you want to be around other people of your culture. So spotted throughout Latin America, there's a lot of little pockets of European cultures that a lot of people would be really surprised by to see, like, oh, why is this perfectly like authentic German village in the middle of Argentina? It's just because they came over at one point in time, and that's kind of where their culture expanded to within that country.
What I was saying is that chocolate came from Mexico too, and Belgian chocolate is better known for quality. That's what I meant.
Oh, okay. Okay. So the actual origin of the stuff that makes the thing that then makes it better. Yeah. I think that happens a lot though. Like there's just a certain culture that takes something and they're just like, okay, I've had it here, but man, until you have it here, you haven't had it.
Exactly.
Whatever. Yeah. Okay.
So in 1865.
Okay.
1865, a boat sank. And it was filled with canned food. The boat was rescued over 100 years later, 110 years later.
Okay.
And apparently the food was still okay. The canned food was still okay.
Mm-hmm. See, that's going to go with something that I had later. I had a whole buildup to almost that exact same fact. Let's see. I don't know if it was in my quizzes or... I don't know where it is, but basically, yeah, I did a whole breakdown of like, it was a, this came before that thing. So basically like canned food was created, but when it was created, the cans were too thick to actually use anything to open it. So they like, essentially it was like a hammer and a chisel to try to open the can. Do you have this? Like, do you have it written down on your sheet?
No, but I have something of who created the canned foods.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah, I don't want to take it if you've got it written down.
Oh, it's okay. So they said that canned food was invented as a result of Napoleon Bonaparte offering a reward to someone who could make food last longer.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how the origins of canned food began. But yes, the canned food cans themselves were really, really thick. So you had to hammer and chisel them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it's not like the canned foods right now that you think like, oh my gosh, what do you mean a Campbell's soup lasted 100 years? Well, we're talking about way thicker material to withstand the pressure underwater. And also because it's under pressure, there is also no bacteria that will build up.
Yeah.
There is no oxygen exchange. So when you think of these canned foods being found in the 70s, then it makes sense because it's not based on our style of canned food, which you can literally scrape upside down and then the lid will come off.
Yeah, And I don't have the dates, unfortunately. It might have actually been another video that I was researching that I put this fact into because I don't see it on my sheet right now. But basically, so the evolution was Napoleon did exactly what Maria said, and then somebody created a storage device for the food. Then somebody came up with a really thick can. And then somebody came up with a way to mass produce out of tin because it wasn't tin originally. To where they could make a thin can for mass production. But then it took 12 more years before the first can opener was created. So there was thin tin cans for 12 years before they stopped using the hammer and chisel to open it. And then it took 12 more years before they came up with the actual can opener that we would think of today, where it kind of clamps on the side and then you roll the wheel. So 24 years after somebody finally invented a thin can that you could puncture before they actually came up with the can opener that we would know today, which
that's incredible.
It's incredible. But you're like, man, the way inventions and stuff work these days, it's like, oh, if you've got a problem, it seems like some inventor somewhere like solves it pretty quickly these days. But you also don't have access to information or sharing thoughts or grabbing an idea, because I think this all took place in the 1800s, the evolution. Mm-hmm. Okay, this one was just fun. I thought this was hilarious. So the chia seeds, you know, that everybody eats for all their health problems. Chia. Exactly. Yeah, same seeds on the chia dolls. If you ever have the plants and you spread them on the, I remember the Obama one, and then you could give them like the spiky hair and stuff that's, I always thought that was hilarious. But yes, they're the exact same seeds that the chia pets are made out of.
So you can eat those seeds and then keep growing them because sprouted seeds are actually better anyway.
Okay. I think you could probably set up a better garden than that, though. It's like you walk into someone's house and they've got like 50 chia heads, and you're just like, what are you? Oh, no, I'm just growing chia seeds for myself. It's just this display looked cooler to me. I'm sorry.
Yeah, because you can't have Mr. T and just shave it.
Yeah. Buzz cut, done. Oh.
So this is a horrible story, but it's worth mentioning. So the winter in 1420s, winter in Paris in the 1420s was so bad, so thick, that wolves actually came into Paris and attacked people.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They say that that's part of the, and it has to do with food because the animals have to eat. Mm-hmm. But they said that that was one of the origins, perhaps one of the origins of the legends of the werewolves.
Okay. Have you seen the post going around on Facebook and it's got like a dialogue box and it's like, wolf, I'm here to eat you and your children. And then humans, counter offer, peanut butter and blankets, wolf, ... I'm listening. And then is the domestication of dogs was the name of the interaction.
That's a good summary of basically adaptation, therefore evolution. And then you have a chihuahua, which I don't even know where she's at. And that one now thinks she's the queen. So
yes. But I read that. I just laughed my butt off.
That was awesome.
Oh, okay. Let's see. Okay, so in the 1980s, they came out. Of course they did in the 1980s. The era of all the weird inventions and made-on-TV stuff and everything else, they made something called a Vision Dieter Glasses, which promised to curb your appetite by making food look unappealing. So apparently you'd put on these glasses, your food would look like it was like rotted or old or something, so you wouldn't want to eat much of it. And how desperate do you have to be to lose weight if you're going, I want five of those, please?
Actually, some people even talk about shock therapy. Like they will have a little something with shock. Uh-huh. And somebody else will, like, if they see this person like starting to have gooey eyes towards something delicious, they will shock them.
Okay.
As a way to do negative reinforcement.
Gotcha. Like a good relationship device. It's just like, no, honey, I was just trying to help with your food crib. Like, there's no food around. The way you were looking at X, Y, Z made it look like you were.
You're making gooey eyes to that burger, man. So in order to help the less fortunate, okay. Saudi, and this became a trend now in some countries. So okay. A Saudi man in the city of Ha'il installed a refrigerator on the streets outside his home in order to store food for the needy. And people started actually putting food there.
Nice.
For the needy. So extra apples, things that were about to go bad. And it became a really nice project.
Really cool. That's really, really mm-hmm. cool. Let's see. Not that you have to do any marketing for that, because that's the people that actually need the food. But if you've ever wondered why most fast food chains, their logos and stuff are usually in yellow, red, and or orange, it's because studies have shown that that's actually the food, the colors that stimulate hunger. So it's all marketing, people. If you see a commonality between something, there's probably a really good reason for it.
A good point.
Mm-hmm.
And McDonald's.
I mean, just start naming them off. Burger King is orange, orange and red. Jack in the Box is red. In-N-Out is a yellow arrow with red background palms. This will be fun. Hey, guys, in the comments, start spitting off all the logos that you can think of or all the major companies for fast food companies or even other like food companies like packaging in the supermarkets and stuff that take advantage of this yellow, red, orange marketing strategy to create hunger that makes you want to then go eat at that place or buy that thing in the supermarket.
And then when you see green, people think it's organic.
Yeah, exactly. So you can trick people that way and like, oh, I'll put green packaging. And it's, yeah, people totally think, I didn't ever think about that one. That's
with cellophane. Yeah, very biodegradable.
Right.
So, speaking of cheeseburgers, this is actually my last fact. Speaking of cheeseburgers, there is actually a cheese... There, a long time ago, they installed something called the cheeseburger bill, which makes it illegal for people to sue food companies for making them obese.
Okay, I don't even have to ask. I just already know, sadly, already know instinctually off the bat that that had to be in America. Why do we need this stuff? Okay.
Like, you paid for it, you chose to buy it, and you're going to blame them? Hello, you could have gone to the green packaging right next to it.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah, and the green packaging was way healthier, of course, because it's in green packaging. I'm going to go a little international. Are the differences between us and other countries? Nigeria, their version of Sesame Street, they don't have a Cookie Monster. And I think it is for actual, like, kids' health purposes, like to try to not market junk food to children. Because we talked about Cracker Jacks earlier. Cookie Monster, Sesame Street, popular character, main food item, obviously, junk food cookies. Well, in Nigeria, their version of the Cookie Monster actually eats yams. So he's obsessed with yams, not cookies.
Is this called the Yam Monster?
I don't know what the name of it is. And I probably couldn't pronounce it even if I did know the name of it. So
I actually think that's amazing.
I do too. I thought that was pretty cool. So you said you did your last one? Okay. I got a couple more then I will spit off and then we will move into some fun quizzes for everybody. All right, let's see. Japan, China, and Korea. Slurping noodles loudly is actually a compliment to the chef. So it is not considered impolite to slurp loudly if you are in Japan, China, and Korea.
That food etiquette is very important. I'm glad you actually mentioned it because I didn't think of any of them.
But don't do it everywhere because in the Philippines and Singapore, it's still considered rude to slurp your food. So it's not like an Asian culture or a noodles thing. It is very like country specific. And that is kind of a region. If you're thinking Japan, China across the strait, Korea above it. So you can probably draw a little circle around that region where it would be considered a compliment. So most people think that when you think of baseball and ballparks and stadium food, probably one of the first things you think of is
hot dogs.
Of course.
We're trained
in New York, at New York baseball parks. It wasn't until, let's see. Okay. The interview was in 1924 and they were interviewing an old, concession person. And he remembered that in 1894, it was only ham sandwiches and cheese sandwiches that they served at the parks. It wasn't until 1909 that they started serving hot dogs at the ballpark in New York.
Well, the reason why I thought of that is because isn't there a brand of of hot dogs called Ballpark? So to me, I almost kind of like went to that. Oh,
well, yeah, when I think food at a baseball stadium, hot dogs are the first thing that's like, irregardless. I mean, that's why they named their hot dogs that. It was for exactly that purposes. But let's see. Ancient Egyptians knew how to cure meat. Oh, this one gets me. So they knew how to cure meat and they preserved it using natron, sodium, and sodium bicarbonate to preserve their food. Apparently, we still use that stuff today to preserve our food, which is impressive. The scary part becomes those same elements, natron and sodium bicarbonate, were also used in their mummification process.
Because it dehydrates, like salt dehydrates. And if you go to many countries, you will actually see that excess of salt will generate a dehydration and it's like cooking. So therefore it's a way to preserve.
Okay. But they're preserving mummified bodies the same way. That just scared me a little bit. I'm just going to say it scared me a little bit. Oh, I did have the canned food numbers. Here it is, guys. All right. 48 years after the canned food was invented was when they finally came up with a can opener. So 1810, first canned food. 1847, the cans that we know now. 1858, first can opener, but not our style. 1870, first can opener that we would recognize today as a can opener. Okay, last one. Last one. The most expensive food is a black, smelly fish egg called Alma's caviar. It's worth $36,000 per kilogram. Russian fishermen learned how to farm caviar in the early 12th century. And unfortunately, for most of that time between 12th century and now, it was considered cheap peasant food served with porridge and eaten by the bowlful. Much like lobsters were so plentiful on the east coast of the United States, they actually fed it to prisoners. So the food that we pay all this money for now that we think is super fancy originated as like just bottom of the barrel, like bottom of society food for everybody. So, oh, how times have changed. Marty, have fun quizzes.
So with quizzes, can you guess? It's just a guess. Which one is the oldest snack food that's been recorded? Okay. Oldest snack food.
So guys, this is the section when we get to quizzes. It's basically, I'm going to ask Mar. Mar's going to ask me. We're going to try to think up answers. We're going to give each other little hints to get us somewhere near the path of getting the answer. But this is also your opportunity to show how smart you are or feel smart, like watching Jeopardy. And you're just like, how do these idiots not know the answer? It's clearly this. So you guys have some fun with this also. So the question is the oldest snack food. And based on the facts that we had covered previously and not really knowing how to define snack food, I'd have to say honey. I'd have to say honey is the oldest snack food made by the Egyptians way back in the day. Now, if you're talking
made by bees in the way back when?
Yeah, but I mean, obviously it was a huge part of like Egyptian, like you could pay with honey. Like honey was like a commodity even.
No, but that's too fancy. Like honey would be too fancy. This actually, okay.
Like junk snack food?
Yeah, like snack food. I'm not talking about, because to me, honey would be an ingredient and a, wouldn't call it a spice, but an ingredient.
Okay. All right. So a junk snack food.
Well, I don't think they will appreciate that we're calling it junk.
Okay, I'm going to go with like a potato chip. Potatoes have been around for a long time. I'm going with something potato-based.
Okay, so you went to the potato famine in Europe and Ireland?
It was just such a common staple food for people throughout history. I could see somebody like accidentally dropping one into the thing they were cooking, you know, their fish with, and then it fried up and someone went, ooh, that's good.
I think the potato chip... Please don't quote me on this, but if I remember the fact correctly, potato chips, like kettle chips, apparently there was a guy who ordered some food and the chef brought them, or he got the fries and they didn't like it because they were too soggy. So he actually threw them in the slicer, and that's how kettle.
Okay. All right. Let's give the people the answer. Because the people that already know it are waiting to hear it, and the people that don't know it have given up. So what is the answer, Maria?
Okay, so in the 6th century, pretzels.
Pretzels. Okay.
Who have thought?
Okay. Probably has some church tie, I'm guessing. I'm guessing if that's probably would be my guess. Okay. Let's see. Oh, interesting. All right. There are three things the human brain cannot resist noticing. If you guys have ever seen this, like we always recognize faces and things. Like our brains are wired in such a way for survival that so they see faces in objects. Like you've seen those posts on Facebook where it's like it's a sink with the two knobs, but then somebody's like, oh, it's a smiley face. And then you can't see anything other than a face with a smiley face. Our brains are very wired in certain ways. And that same wiring allows three things for our brain not to be able to resist noticing. Food is one of them. What's the other two? So thinking along the lines of survival.
Okay. So to me, based on what you're saying, anything in the teeth will be very noticeable. Because teeth, when you smile, could be perceived as a sign of kindness. And in wild animals, could be perceived as a sign of aggression. So anything in the teeth, like if you have food on their teeth.
So think a little bit broader. So these like food is a topic. It's not like green vegetables. Like one of them is food. So think much broader than you're on the right track for one of them, but broader for survival. What do we need?
Well, we need shelter, we need food and clothing. We're going to go with the basic needs of humans.
Okay. You're on the right track, but you don't quite have the other two. Still in human basic needs.
I'm making up my own song, so we don't.
Okay. So why would you? Why would a smile be noticeable?
I think it's one of the first things you notice, and also in the sense of if that person is reliable or not. So you will notice that facial expression if you can trust that person or not.
Both of them. So basically, attractive people, we need to reproduce. So that's why when you said teeth, yes, symmetrical faces are more attractive to us, but yes, we can't. And guys, just this is actually wired into our brains. We cannot resist noticing food, attractive people. So when people's heads are floating, literally you can't help it. Like your innate survival instincts kicks in. So on the same line, what do you think the third one is?
So I said teeth, which was more with.
So we've got food and attractive people. So broad.
No.
They put the little signs on the wet floors for what purpose?
So you don't slip and fall. Strength. Slip and fall. Wet. Feet. Shoes.
Danger. I'm like, think broad. And you're like, little caterpillar with only five legs.
Roly poly for nitrate breakdown.
It leads to its left. It's got to be that, right?
So basically, okay. I was never going to guess.
I tried to lead you down the right path, but then it was taking too long, and I'm guessing everybody would get bored at a certain point. So we'll probably have to put a limit on these in the future. Like, you get like 10 seconds, and then you get a hint, and then like 10 seconds and a hint. And then if you don't have it, we just give the answer. That way, we can kind of keep trucking. Do you have another one?
Yes. What is scarier between a Komodo dragon or a vampire? Like, what's scarier?
Komodo dragon because it's real?
And vampires are not? Like vampire bats?
No, you didn't say vampire bats. You said vampires.
You're right.
Sorry against everybody out there. Everybody out there, if you believe in vampires and think they're real, I was going for like the general answer that I thought that... Would you like to rephrase your question, Maria?
Yes, please. What's scarier between a Komodo dragon and a vampire bat?
Vampire bat or Komodo dragon? Vampire bat.
So basically between a dragon and a vampire.
Well, that's totally different from the animals, though.
I would say
the dragon is scarier on the dragon versus vampire, but then the vampire bat is scarier than the Komodo versus vampire bat because... The vampire bat can hunt you down. And I think if I remember, they actually feed, they have a tendency to actually bite the same animals. Once they find a good food source they like, vampire bats will return to the same animals. And they can obviously fly them down. I could run away from a Komodo dragon. So mythical, I'm going dragon versus vampire dragon. Actual animal, I'm going vampire bat.
Besides Komodo dragon, like you think you can outrun a Komodo dragon?
Yes. In zigzags. Callback joke to anybody that watches Wild Chats. The zigzag joke of running away from alligators. Okay, Maria, what is the answer?
Done. You're done. No, actually, it's Komodo dragons are really, really scary because if there is no food source for them when they're babies, they'll eat each other.
Okay.
They will eat each other.
It's not scary to me. I'm safe then. They got food. I'm good.
Like, perfect. Make sure you don't throw a chicken. Uh-huh. No, but actually, vampire bats, they are such a solidary animal, like a community animal, that if there is an orphan vampire bat, they will actually take it in and feed it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. There are 8 popular foods most common that cause food allergies. How many can you name, Maria?
Well, gluten will be from wheat. Corn. Some people are allergic to chocolate. Some people are allergic.
there's a lot of people that are like, some people are allergic to. Like, what are the big eight?
Peanuts.
Okay.
I'm not going through my list because it takes me less time than me trying to.
Well, no, but I want like, so I'll let you work through your list, then give me your official answer, and I'm going to see if you can name more of them than the audience. So it's you versus person X watching, and we're going to see how many of this eight. And I think they broke it down by like percentage of people in the world that are allergic to X. And I
okay,
have
so peanuts,
okay.
Wheat, milk, actually all kinds of tree nuts. So I don't know if that'll go with peanuts because peanuts are not tree nuts per se. So I'm going to put them in separate category. Milk. People are actually allergic to certain grasses, so I don't know if that even counts. Avocados, coconut, tomatoes.
One more guess. That's it. That's eight.
Okay.
Okay, so you got 1, 2, 3, 4. 4 out of 8. I think everybody out there was probably yelling at the screen, shellfish. Because to me, that's one of the first.
Shellfish, I forgot.
Shellfish. Or, and they did this separately, which I kind of question, but so had you said fish or shellfish, I would have given you both of them. So technically there's kind of 7. Eggs and soy. You were correct with milk, wheat, peanuts, and tree nuts. You did divide out the nuts. So full list would be milk, eggs, wheat, peanuts, soy, tree nuts, fish and shellfish.
Because I don't eat shellfish, it doesn't even occur to me. And I don't like soy, so it doesn't. There are certain things that I will not eat.
Okay.
And you're right. I wonder if there's an allergy that I'm conscious of, but my body kind of knows it. Like my internal friendly bacteria is like, don't eat shell.
You know, crazy. Shellfish. Exactly. All right. Do you have any more?
Just one more.
One more? Okay.
Of the primary colors. Red, white, and blue. It's okay.
What? Gray, white, and blue?
Red, white, red, yellow, and blue of the primary colors.
She said red, white, and blue.
It's because I went with the Colombian flag, but instead of saying the Colombian flag, I said the American flag or the French flag or many other countries that have that color.
Oh, so the Colombian flag is the primary colors? I never thought about it that way. Okay, mm-hmm. Okay.
Yellow, blue, and red. Not because they're primary colors. There is a different denomination of why. Yeah. But if you want to remember, easy, yellow, yes. Blue, and red. Very.
Okay.
So what of those colors or?
Purple. Sorry, go ahead.
So name up, basically, we can imagine fruits and vegetables that are red and yellow. Very easy. Name one that is blue.
I can't. There's no blue foods that exist in nature. And if people want to say blueberry, you're wrong. It's actually a shade of purple. And if you want to say purple corn chips or blue corn chips, you're wrong. It's a shade of purple. I forgot where I got this. I had this in another thing that I was researching for something else way back in the day. Because I remember pondering on this myself. I'm like, and I'm sorry, guys. I should not have answered so quickly. Damn it. I should have given you the opportunity.
Well, you were just so excited.
In the facts below, guys, actually, in the comments below, if you could think of a purple food, or sorry, a blue food, I'd love to hear it because I was sitting there racking my brain and then I was getting sidetracked, so I had to get back to what I was doing. I might be wrong, but the example
that's why that blue is so revered in many cultures.
Okay.
Blue itself, because the lack of, but there are minerals that are blue, there are birds and other animals that have blue, so
okay.
Blue can be found in nature, it's just not in food.
Yeah, it's actually one of the most expensive dye colors that exists, and I forget what.
Unless you're talking about Nuri Branch, like a little sea slugs, and you'd say that you're going to eat that, and they're blue, okay, fine, but I think that's a little too far.
Then you're a crazy person. All right, we're going to have another one here. We're going to keep kind of doing this, what's the show, or it's like name, it's got the strikes on it, and you got the families versus each other. And then you ask a question, like we interviewed 100 people and asked them this question.
Family Feud.
Thank you. Family Feud. I could not think of the phrase Family Feud. We're doing this Family Feud style for this one also, Maria. So five favorite U.S. school lunches nationwide, according to the American School Food Service Association.
Can you repeat that? I couldn't hear you because you were doing this.
Okay. Sorry. I was getting into it. Five favorite U.S. school lunches. You get five guesses that kids eat. Favorite food. I know I always had a day that I was looking forward to when I was in grade school. It's like, oh, it's this day. Or, oh, it's the, oh, it's that day. Oh, I don't even
know. Okay, so it could be easy for you because you grew up in American schools.
Yes.
But I remember mine. Mine was good, like good food with soup and salad.
Okay.
So we're going to cancel that. But I will go with pizza.
Okay. So you get five guesses. Pizza is one of them, you said?
Yeah, pizza, hot dogs, what other junk food? Burger Day. Nobody's going to eat sushi like in Japan. Nobody's going to eat soup like I like. Hot dog, pizza, and I said something else, and burger. Slappy Joe's.
Okay.
Something horrendous like that. I'm going with the list of what kids will probably eat.
One more guess.
This is gonna be bad because once I hear, I'll be like, "Seriously, Maria, you didn't know that?"
Uh-huh. At least one of them, if you don't get it.
Oh, I can't think of anything else. Let me look at through the mashed potatoes with fried chicken.
That's a side item. Oh, you were so close. So close. You're going to kick yourself on this one.
Chicken finger, chicken wings, chicken wings, chicken wings.
Chicken nuggets. Chicken nuggets. Wings. Who gives kids chicken wings?
Chicken fingers.
Chicken.
It's the same thing.
Nope. It's got to be, come on. No. It's your lack of growing up in America, but yes, nobody knows chicken fingers. Like, those weren't around 20 years ago. It's nuggets. The favorite child form of a chicken food is nuggets. Come on. All right. So the top five, everybody, for everyone out there that guessed different, is pizza, chicken nuggets, tacos these days, burritos, and hamburgers. No hot dogs, Maria. No hot dogs.
Or pizza.
No, pizza was the first one.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah. Pizza was always pizza day I loved. And then because we throw pizza parties at the school. Like, that was the big, like, celebration. Like, there'd be a pizza party, teacher would bring in pizza, and you get, like, a whole period off, and then you'd basically just switch. Now that I'm an adult and I look back on it, I'm like, man, that is, like, the cheapest way to not have to teach for an hour is, like, spend $20 to get a couple pizzas.
Yeah, my school was completely different. We had soup and salad and meat and rice, and I actually liked it, and that's one of the reasons why I still love soup. Like, if you invite me to a soup, to eat soup, have different choices, I will actually have dessert with soup.
Okay. I got one more for you.
Okay.
One more. Most common general items, not like specific items. So think categories or like aisles on a supermarket kind of thing.
Food aisle.
Categories of products that coupons are distributed for.
Okay, so I will think like breakfast food, like cereals and breads.
Okay. There's head three. Food. So you get three guesses. So you say breakfast food?
Yes.
Okay.
Pet food. And cleaning. Oh, no, but there is also cleaning supplies and personal supplies. I chose four.
Those would be two different categories. So
I know.
Pick between your last two. You gotta pick between them. Last time you clipped coupons, what was there more coupons for?
Well, that's the problem is that I was in the vitamin aisle, but it will be personal. I will go with personal. Ah, cleaning.
Final answer?
Cleaning, yeah.
Okay, Maria went with pet food, cleaning, and breakfast food. You've got two out of three correct, Maria. Good job. The full answer would be cleaning. Yes, I'm glad you picked cleaning out of the two. Pet food and frozen foods. Frozen foods over breakfast foods. Yes.
So I was never going to guess it right.
Really? Frozen foods would have been like my first one I would have guessed. I definitely would have been like, yeah, frozen foods. Okay. All right, guys. I have a note. All right, cool. All right, guys. Hopefully you guys enjoyed it. Like I said, we're still kind of working out what this is going to be. Maria and I will chit-chat about it after the fact. So, Mar, let's do... if you guys are coming to us from Wild Chats, as you know, every episode we do a backstage show. We have a Patreon that is free for all of the interactions. So any of the questions that we ask the audience on the show, we will put it in the community posts for YouTube. And we will put it over on Patreon. Again, it's free. You don't have to sign up for anything. And that's where we will continue the conversations. So any of our debates, the blue food thing is perfect. That'll definitely get put up. And then Maria usually scrubs the show to see if there's any other things that kind of spontaneously we're like, all right, audience, give us the answer to this. Anything like that, we'll post those in the community section of YouTube or in the free section of Patreon. And you guys can just continue that conversation. And we're naming all the episodes, so there's going to be an episode number for this. And that's the easiest way on Patreon to search the questions from this episode. So if you were to put in episode one or whatever the naming scheme is going to be, we don't even know that yet, Mar. We don't know what the name is.
No, that's what I was like, hold on.
I think it's going to be Undiscovered Facts. So we will just say UF number one, I think will probably be the coding for this show. So if you put in UF number one, all the questions from this show will come up. So you can stay in line. It'll be in the title if we change it.
Yeah, you'll see it. I'll write it on the description.
Again. So hopefully you guys enjoyed the show. It was a little meandering. We always have fun doing this. That's why me and Mar started Wild Chats to begin with over there. And then we just wanted to bring it over here. Hopefully you guys enjoy it. If you guys have fun food facts and stuff, that'll be one of the questions for a social post. Give us some of your fun food facts because we love learning. That's why we did this. We like doing the research and learning all this fun stuff. So blue foods or your fun food facts, throw it in there. If we got anything wrong, if we left something out, if you have an addendum to something that we put on that you're like, I wish they would have mentioned this extra step because this is really cool, throw it in there too, guys. Mar and I are going to jump over to the backstage show. That is for the Patreon subscribers. So that would be, that's kind of behind the paid wall. But you guys can jump over there and catch the after show of this.
It's called like under Wild Chats. So if you open Patreon and you see Wild Chats,
yes,
it's the same family.
Yes. So we're going to keep it all in the same place. So that's the other fun thing too. If you guys subscribe here, you'll get everything from the backstage shows and stuff from Wild Chats also. So we're not dividing off and asking for multiple. It's all free if it's just general conversation and there's only one area for all the other bonus stuff. So you guys can jump over there. Typically for this show, what we think is going to happen is the after shows are going to be more facts that we didn't want to share here in public. And then we usually talk about the show a little bit. Sometimes we get on a side tangent of different topics, but it's fun to check out. You get a little more of our personality also. And that's that, guys. Hopefully, like I said, you guys enjoyed the show. I enjoyed doing it. I think it went well. It didn't go the way I thought it was going to go, and it went much longer than we're going to go in the future. And that's one of the other things we have to figure out over there. So we will talk to you later. Thank you for joining us, guys, and we'll see you next time.